My worst experiences were going downtown and I get an item. Then when I reach home, I find that the item was counterfeit.
Yes, guys, it is the Power Talks with Suna, Ronald, myself. This is a podcast that aims to bring conversations about digital and media business on a record where thought leaders guide and help us to understand the market needs, which will shape the industry for the very best at global standards. Myself and the team have created this show not only because we have history in professional digital marketing for brands, but we felt a call to action to share knowledge with industry players that this would be the right thing to provide solutions to aspiring entrepreneurs in the digital landscape.
Firstly, we've been having this long overdue. I know your request came in as early as the first edition we did, right?
Yeah.
It has been a long time coming.
I know.
How are you?
Michael was reminding me yesterday that he's the one that made the recommendation in the first place. I told him, yeah, that was like ages ago.
Yeah, good to have you. How has been your day?
My day has been good. Quite busy.
I see.
Trying to put the company together.
And the company you're talking about is Qwali. Is that correct?
Yeah.
All right. So you are an investor. You are a business. A business owner of this startup, which is e-commerce. And I've been amazed, first of all, by the level of commitment and investment. So I probably hand of applause for you on taking that leap of faith. So congratulations, man.
Thanks, Ronald. Thanks.
Yeah. So tell the audience, first of all, your names, Stephen O'Belly. That's your real name. Is that correct?
Yes, my name is Stephen O'Belly Sambe.
Sambe. And which part of Uganda are you coming from?
I come from Tororo, Eastern Uganda.
Ah, Tororo. Interesting.
Yes.
I think you must be the first person from Tororo on my podcast. Pleasure to have you.
I'm glad.
All right. So tell us about Qwali.
So Qwali.shop was started in 2019, April, to be precise. Qwali.shop is Uganda's largest counterfeit-free home appliances and electronics store.
Oh, I like the marketing. I like the marketing. But Twala City, it is Uganda's largest. Please head on from there.
Counterfeit-free home appliances and electronics store.
And to ask you the question, when you bring a terminology like that as your unique selling point, counterfeit free, I would want to beg to ask, throughout your experience, would you justify that the likes of similar brands I may mention here that are in the e-commerce space have counterfeit products?
Yes, they do not have only counterfeit products, but they have a mix of both counterfeit and genuine products. And That's quite easy to understand. When it's a marketplace and people can list products there, consumers in that case, I mean vendors can list products by themselves, and then other consumers come, which is the final the customers come and find products on the platform, then they make orders, and either the vendors deliver or the platform delivers. Still, the platform won't have as much control over the quality of the products as they would as in our case. So such platforms are not exactly counterfeit free.
Would you want to add to the fact that probably this was one of your pedal stores to see that you are tapping into the similar business? Maybe probably, do you have a frustration of a story that is quite relatable to customers that have been faced with counterfeit products? What is your story like?
Exactly, I do. Now, a lot of it is not my own, but because I've been around this city for long, I have lots of friends who live and experience and have various experiences with duplicate or counterfeit products. Personally, my worst experiences were going downtown and I get an item. Then when I reach home, I find that the item was counterfeit. It happened to me so much in shoes, clothing, and belts, and things like that. Because at the time, those are the things that I was buying mostly. So when it got to appliances, I started to do a bit of research, and I would find, you know, people had terrible experiences. The platforms that I would consider to get the items that I needed are the platforms that people had reviews about counterfeits about. People had so much complaints about those platforms having counterfeits, and everyone was saying, well, you can buy from there, but you've got to be smart, you've got to be so careful. Yeah, so I didn't want to get myself in that, and I did think so many people had to go through the same
thing. And that, Steven, would require good investment capital. That's my next question. How did you get your first investment capital? Were you working somewhere? Was it a loan from an uncle? Was it your parents? How did you get into the business with quite good capital to defeat the markets that actually you are opposing, to say that they are selling counterfeit products? Because actually, the irony is this existing markets, because I've also had an experience with it, and I've also seen friends complain online. They are quite huge enterprises, billion-dollar enterprises. How much did you invest, and how did you get your first capital?
First, to start Quelli.shop, I did think that we were going to have to struggle competing against anybody. I just thought there were lots of people out there that needed to be helped, that they're working so hard looking for the money and shouldn't work so hard trying to be smart so as not to buy counterfeit products from, you know, vendors and platforms that do not exactly say that some of their items are counterfeit. So I didn't think it would require so much budget for the marketing and all of that. Now, where did I get capital? Because irrespective of whether I was going to compete directly or try to outcompete someone, I still needed money to get the word out there, to build the platform and all of that. And without a doubt, my first investment capital was my own skills. I was running a digital marketing agency at the time, which became the parent company of Quelli, that Dreamstar Digital Limited. And at the time of starting Quelli, I had the job, money was coming in, and I was like, well, let me do this to help people. I did think that Quelli would become bigger than Dreamstar Digital was. I didn't think it would become bigger than the digital marketing agency at that time. So I had my skills. I had done, I think, about 25 or 30 websites at that time. So I was like, well, I can do another one. I had good expertise in digital marketing. So I said, I can deploy that as well in marketing the e-commerce website online. Then, well, whatever else might come after that. So, yeah. That's how amazing.
Yeah. And firstly, we're talking about your e-commerce enthusiast spiel onto servicing customers that are frustrated with bad service, and then we're talking about how you got your capital. But then, where is this coming from? You've just shared with us that you are running a digital marketing agency, which is quite good, leveraging your skill set to deliver better service delivery, I think, when it comes to marketing. But yeah, what was your career like? What has it been like? Probably you may share with us from before you came into the advertising agency bit of things. Was it your first time career experience with working?
It wasn't fast, but most of my life has been around business, has been around entrepreneurship. When I was in primary two, that was I was about 8 years old. I remember going with a brother. We bought sugarcane and sold at the local market in the village. When I got back home, I gave my mother all the money that I had made
That is quite interesting.
I still think she should give me back that money.
Yeah, for real. But you did get like anything like a gift or shoes in exchange of that?
Nothing. We got home.
Surely you must have. I think we've all had an experience whereby we give money to our parents. However, instead of getting direct cash, you get something out of that. Probably maybe for school fees or food. I don't know.
Nothing. I'll be honest with you. We used to force ourselves to do certain things. Our father was raising, I think in his mind for him, is a honorable and he was raising. He wanted us to go to school, finish school, get a government job, a good government job. You know, like those are the kind of people that was raising, not girls just
like all the parents like that. Like all the parents raising millennials, the story is that it's quite similar to everyone I think is listening to this podcast.
Exactly. So I get home, I'm very excited that I went with less money, I've come back with more and stuff like that. I remember having lunch from my mom's bedroom, my parents' bedroom, seated there telling her the story after the other, how it happened, this and that and the other. After that, I gave her all the money, no terms, no conditions, nothing like that. I just gave it to her.
That's how you have your test beds getting onto things like e-commerce and selling, the business of selling at an early age, 8 years of age. That's something which is quite not found, like something that is not on the general scale. So I think it was unique talent for you to possess that, and you carry on with the same skill set, with the same awareness of selling. So yeah, impressive career, impressive, impressive upbringing. Because also I think it gets the parents, that your parents were able to give you that room of expression, to give you that room of practice. So yes, despite the fact that they gave you education to see you becoming, you know, government, you know, officials, I'm glad to see that. Because another parent would have been like, it shouldn't be, you know, getting out. Because today's parents, I think they wouldn't want their kids to be selling sugarcane or something like that. Because after all, they provide everything to them. So yeah, I think it's played a great role in your upbringing. But yeah, COVID is coming. Sorry, pardon me.
Yes, it did.
Yes, please. I was talking about COVID, the pandemic. It's one of the biggest catastrophes that have happened in the millennial generation. And you being an early starter, owning a startup, owning an e-commerce business, the performance, I know it has affected it. It could be positively or the negative. But yes, just to give us a perspective on how you've handled COVID as a business, as a CEO of Qwerly, because I know you are a CEO, but before even you get into the answer of how you've been able to maneuver throughout these times, probably you can give an insight on your employment number. How many people do you employ in your company? And then please can share with us.
Qwerly has 4 full-time staff and 4 contractors. All the contractors are delivery personnel, and the full-timers are in different departments, marketing, order fulfillment, and of course the tech bit, which is making sure the website is up and running well.
Interesting. Yeah. So yeah, tell us about COVID, how you've handled it. Have you laid off staff?
COVID found Qwerly in its 10th month.
That is 2020?
2020, about February, that was when we started hearing about COVID. Then March, it got closer to us. So I consider that we got COVID in Uganda. COVID started affecting our economy around February of 2020. So COVID found us in our 10th month. We hadn't figured out lots of things. We were not prepared for it. We hadn't seen it coming. We, you know, the company wasn't made for COVID. It wasn't made to help people when they're when there's a COVID situation. So COVID finds us, and there's a lockdown is announced, and then suppliers start telling us things like, we are sorry, we can't deliver. The other one says, we are sorry, we are all in lockdown. The other one says, we are sorry, we can't give you items. And orders were coming through. Customers, some get mad at us because, you know, we didn't have proper timelines of when we would be able to deliver again. And then there was this whole thing, the government says delivery services can continue, but we, you know, we were not fully registered as a delivery services provider or something like that.
So all of what was happening, it hits you at a time whereby you are not finalizing your paperwork.
Yeah, so everything was happening so fast. So COVID found us like that.
Hey guys, sorry, I have to interrupt this episode just for 1 minute. I have important information that will be helpful, especially to the young and upcoming CEOs in the digital and technology industry. So most of us don't have life coaches, right? On the contrary, we do find ourselves learning a lot from YouTube videos. However, we've understood that accessing such news information in the technology sector, you need to trust a dedicated news website covering finance and technology. And these ones stand out by far as the fastest means of communication to cover breaking stories and trending news. So allow me to introduce to you Mazima.com. Mazima.com is the freshest news site which shares accurate and up-to-speed information about e-commerce, sport, marketing, and startup milestones, which you will need to equip yourself with. Head to Google or any search engine and type Mazima.com. Do not forget to share stories that you find impactful and those that you love and find interesting on your social media platforms so that we can grow the network. So thank you. Cheers.
How do you get out of that, Steven?
Good. So, we decided to take everything one at a time and a day at a time. If a service provider, if a supplier told us they were not able to make to send us items the previous day, we would call them today. If they say they're not able today, we would again get to them tomorrow. And just like that, we managed to get back one supplier at a time. At the end of about 15 days, the first 14 days of the lockdown of 2020, we had back all our suppliers. So,
on the advertising, are you talking about supply? How are you, first of all, fixing your supply catalog? So I'm glad that you were able to finish it within 14 days. That's something which is also profound to see that you were able to level up and get back on track. But yeah, when it gets also to in things of advertising, because hey, you have products, you have something to supply, but you're trying to advertise it to people who are out of job, people who are being laid off, people who are struggling to get employed. With all the economic dynamics which were quite on the negative, how are you able to sustain the fact that yes, you're going to advertise, but also increase profit margins that you had already projected in your financial year?
To be honest with you, what I thought about e-commerce before the lockdown of 2020 is way different from what I now know about e-commerce. At the time, I thought, the people that are buying from us are the same people that have been put in a lockdown and are the same people that do not have money, so they may not be able to buy, except for buying some of the small items and small essentials, basically. But it turned out that the people that had the money still had the money and were able to buy. So our challenge was getting to them. Then another reality dawned on us that people were always online searching for these products. They were always looking out for a retailer that is able to make deliveries. So people would go to do a Google search from nowhere. You find someone saying, can you deliver? Photo, can you deliver? Are you working? And then people on Facebook, you put up a post and people are replying, people are getting to the WhatsApp inbox. So we said, okay, this thing tells us that the people that we are looking for actually have the money even in the lockdown. So we should reach more of them. So we decided to make good use of online marketing channels, primarily Google Ads, Facebook Ads, and the organic Facebook marketing techniques as well, making use of the Facebook groups, LinkedIn, Twitter, just like that, brother. Our Kishanos have been Facebook and Google Ads.
So you would arguably say that you've had a good scaling growth of different audiences when it comes to people that you are having previously. I would call them, I would cluster them into the new audiences, and being one of the great, you know, supporting ways on how to market. Let's say we're not considering remarketing to existing clients, but also finding the new clients who you finally discover that were having the demand for your products. Is that correct?
Exactly. See, Ronald, the customers we have between April 2019, when Quelli started, and 2024 are very different from the customers that we've had from 2020 March. And
could you give us some statistics there? Maybe probably. Sorry, Stephen. Could you give us some statistics when it comes to the insights of the client acquisition in terms of the number of the growth of the customer base from within, you know, the past 6 months, even before the wake of COVID, and how you're able to fight those challenges. Could you give us maybe a projection on how you were able to have this success and also existing numbers, probably for our audience to understand the reality of what you're talking about?
Okay, so I do not have exact figures in my at hand right now, but I can give you just highlights. In the first 6 months, we served less than 100 customers. Less than 100. In May of 2020, that was last year, that was like in the deep of the lockdown, and that was actually like the second extension, we got and completed 108 orders in 1 month.
That's a growth of 80%, of 80, of literally actually 80%, right? More new customers, right?
I said 60 customers.
50 customers.
50 customers in 6 months. Total 6 months combined, meaning about 10 per month.
Wow. You were getting,
and then
you were
like getting 10 customers every month.
Okay.
We were getting like 10 in a month. Mm. So we get to May of 2020 and we get to 108 in 1 month.
In 1 month. Wow.
In 1 month.
That's some extraordinary growth. That's success. I call that success. And of course, we would agree that this was COVID's way of how it brought more exposure to your product, right?
Yes, that's right.
You are one of the people that have succeeded in this period. And we can't deny that, according to what you've just shared with us. And probably here I know one of your core competences maybe is marketing, right? You've just shared with us.
Digital marketing.
You just shared with us a channel is your marketing, the service. So maybe the question would be, to a CEO out there listening to this podcast or any person who wants to venture into e-commerce, do you think it is so important to have a skill set that you use to leverage in growing your business? And even better yet, if at all you are to come into e-commerce business, digital marketing has to be one of the core services or the core skills, that you are very, you know, a tick at. Does it necessarily have to be digital marketing or even logistics and accounting? Could be any of the two to help you grow.
Okay, precisely, it should be at least one of the two. I tell those that ask me what I think about e-commerce, and I tell them that I think e-commerce is two things, marketing and logistics.
Impressive.
So good at
and
one
you
of
have,
them,
and you have both, or you have one?
I'm learning the logistics. Here's something that I did. I don't know if this is part of what you want for this podcast, but here's something that I did. I had helped a few customers with a few clients at the agency with the digital marketing. Some were in e-commerce, but not fully e-commerce and things like that. I said, okay, I'm getting into this thing. This is what I got to do. I'm going to make sure I hand deliver the first 100 orders first 100, I'll do them myself. So I'll receive the orders and deliver them. I could tell how rich are the customers, how what kind of cars do our real customers drive, where do they live, how do they communicate, what kind of phones do they hold. You know, there's possibility of looking in the back end of the website and you tell the kind of devices the customers use, but I could meet them physically again to double check.
I think your level of professionalism and company operations is inspirational to your staff, because seeing a CEO and having a mindset like that to make sure that you're delivering door-to-door products by yourself, your first 100 clients, it's something which is overwhelming, and I think it's something to learn about. But yeah, moving on, where do you see yourself in the next 5 years, Stephen?
Okay, in the next 5 years, I see Kweli being able to reach any part of the world that can be reached.
That means you're doing international delivery, and by this you mean you are in the same market space as Amazon, eBay, Jumia. I think Jumia is doing as well cross-border. And this is in terms of scaling, right? So if at all it's scaling your business, apparently, how many cities are you servicing in Uganda?
Right now? Yeah. Okay. Right now, our operations are based in Kampala, but we deliver to any district in Uganda. Here's something, Ronald, that you probably do not know about Kweli. Kweli delivers faster than any business in Uganda to any part of this country. We deliver to any district in Uganda in less than 48 hours from the time the order is made.
That
and
is good, man. That is good. We are proud to
have most of the cities
at this stage. I know you again to have you on the podcast. We shall be having it in some, you know, maybe probably in a hotel in Dubai or somewhere. So I'll be talking to one of the prominent CEOs, probably having featured in the Forbes list. But man, I'm all prayers for you. I wish you success. Maybe probably share with us what you would want to share with your aspiring entrepreneurs who look up to you. And of course, the very last question would be, what was your greatest lesson? So those are the two questions I would want us to finalize with. Please carry on.
What I would tell fellow aspiring entrepreneurs and those that are looking up to me is just one thing. The world is waiting for you, so get started.
The world is waiting for you, get started. I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
And your greatest lesson, please.
My greatest lesson still is that the world is always waiting for you to offer them something.
And that was Kweli. Everyone was waiting for Kweli to get started. We are glad we're on that.
Man. Ronald, I tell you something. Ronald. Like I said earlier, I never ever imagined that Kweli would be bigger than a digital marketing agency. I talked someone earlier about taking a digital marketing agency public. After some years, and he told me, a great friend of mine, he told me, well, that may be possible if the agency has some product, something more than an agency, because, I mean, if someone is to acquire an agency or to buy shares, what are they buying? Is it the people? People can move. I mean, like, what would they be buying? I told him, there may be we can make something, but I didn't know the agency could end up building something that's bigger than the agency.
Exactly. I've seen very good examples from the UK and a similar story of an agency, digital marketing agency, two turned founders of a digital marketing agency who turned their business offering services to e-commerce businesses. And they had different models of earning revenue, and they've accelerated from just that one plan they had to being a service center for all people who want to brand and sell products online. So from where you're speaking from, I can relate very vividly. And I think anyone out there can just take this sense to their personal, you know, business, and they do know. They thrive just like what you're doing right now. All right. Maybe you have any further, any final remarks you want to share before we end this podcast session?
Not in the Ronald. Thank you so much for an opportunity to share this podcast. It's my first podcast experience.
Lovely, lovely. Let's see for Ronald.
Yeah, thanks. I hope to be here again sometime soon.
As well. Looking forward to it. We've been happy to have you, like I expressed earlier. And I wish success to the business that you're having right now. Johnny Mass is my friend. Maybe probably share with us your handle. Are you going to share the business handles or the social or your personal handles?
If I had to choose one, I would share the business handle.
Please, at Quelli, use the platform.
At Quelli UG on Twitter, Quelli UG on Facebook, Quelli.shop on Instagram, Quelli UG on LinkedIn. Yeah, and my personal handle is Stephen Obeli at Stephen Obeli on Twitter and Stephen Obeli someday on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn.
All right, that's how we sign out. And until next time, have a lovely day.
Cheers.
This podcast is brought to you by Grey Point Media. Yeah.